5, 4, 3, 2.
So there's a global pandemic. A virus is sweeping across our world. Still, and society has changed. Why is this happening? Is somebody going to do something about it? Is your stockpile of booze running out? Are you going to get a Krispy Kreme donut or what? If you haven't considered these questions yet, you will soon. And we'll be here with you, your personal guides on this journey, this descent into chaos. Thank you for joining us on Staring at Goats.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's the show you love to wish was canceled. Staring at Goats. It is go time. That means it's time to talk about COVID. It's time to talk about quarantine. It is time to talk about where we're all at in this journey through the plague lands, through the apocalypse. Is it more Mad Max, or is it more 28 days later? Who knows? I don't know which one I prefer, if we're being quite honest. But I'm Steven, joined as always by Jacob and the wonderful, the amazing TV's Travis, Michigan correspondent. We're so happy to be back with you after a week hiatus. Things went a little squirrely around the orbiting HQ, but today we're back. They went squirrely anyway, but you know what? F it. There's a show to be done, and you know what? You guys depend on us for your central singular source for reliable COVID news.
Mm-hmm. Singular, so, the one and only.
Yeah, the only real trusted source for COVID-19 news is this podcast. There's nowhere else to go. Some places want to scare you back into your turtle shell. Some places are like, go out and lick doorknobs. We're somewhere in the middle. We just want to give you the facts and our feelings so you know you're not alone. I think that's right. That's the gist. But like always, let's find out how we're all doing. TV's Travis, let's start with you.
Well, so this past year has been both good and bad, and some of the bad reared its head last week. I have a new general practitioner doctor. So I went in to meet and consult for the first time. Just a general, how you doing? Elbow bump, no shaking hands.
Did he give you a little what for as well?
A little bit, yeah. just check everything, make sure it's all working right. One of the things they have me do is stand on the scale. And I didn't like that at all. That really didn't do well for me. But what it was the kick in the ass that I needed to get back to just kind of taking better care of myself. So I'm paying more attention to what I'm eating. I'm actually getting out and exercising. I found a trail that is, because I live kind of out in the middle of nowhere. This trailhead is perfectly timed out for me to get in my car, drive over there, walk the 2.5 mile loop, and drive back to my house in exactly 1 hour door to door. So I can do it for my lunch break every day. So that's what I've been doing all week. I'm living with this water bottle refilled, I don't know how many times every day. And it was an eye opener to be there at the doctor and to see that. And so it was what I needed. But, all these bad habits kind of reared their ugly head from a year of being stuck inside at home. And some of it's a lack of self-discipline. Some of it's some depression, being stuck at home, having no one else here to stop me. So I could just, eat half a package of Oreos in a sitting because they're there and they taste
half a package. Wait. Yeah,
rookie dims, rookie numbers.
In one sitting. That was in one sitting. See, then I would get up. I would go to the bathroom. I'd come back and I'd finish them.
Oh, okay, you'd sit again, and therefore that's
okay. Yes. Yeah, reset.
I can sit and finish them.
The reset.
Exactly. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's springtime. It's the time for new beginnings, and it's just time for me to take better care of myself because I need to.
I would just go out on the limb and encourage you. Say we're proud of you for one thing, for just taking notice. It's a big deal to even bother. Some people are like, F the scale, something's going to kill me. But you were like, nah, I'm a figure this out. And whatever accountability buddies you need, where to find them.
I'm with you, buddy. I am with you. About, I hit that realization, I guess, what was it, about a month and a half ago, I realized, oh my goodness, I took COVID, I added the COVID-19. And I've since dropped a little bit of poundage, and I'm feeling a little bit better because of it. So yeah, I'm right there with you. Anytime you need help, let's rock and roll. Let's do this thing together.
Yeah, it was the worst part about it was one of those, I knew I needed to watch it, and I knew I needed to lose a little bit of weight anyway. It was, to quote PCU, I knew it was bad. I did not know it was this bad. Like, I couldn't even do the whole, well, I'm fully clothed, wearing my shirt, you know, wearing my shoes, got stuff in my pockets type of thing when I stood on that scale, because that's not a lot of weight, and that number was scary. So it's just time to take care of it. And that's what I'm doing. And honestly, the Two Dorks community helps a ton because everybody's so supportive. So it's really, really handy. But man, COVID, the COVID-19 multiplied a couple of times. And that's what I had found.
It has been brutal. I'm at almost exactly COVID-19 as in terms of poundage gained. And it's like, I guess I'm fortunate in that I gain it everywhere. Like, it just bulks up all over. Shoulders, neck, gut.
Oh, yeah.
Except my butt where I need it. It goes everywhere else.
That's why you got to wear a belt. I know what that's like.
Oh, God. You
need it in your butt.
I actually asked a couple of friends of mine that I saw over the weekend, and I was like, all right, guys, give me an honest assessment. What do you think? And then I'll tell you what I actually did weigh in at. And they were, you know, all the guesses were I wear weight really well. I'm tall, which helps. But it's the same thing. When I put weight on, it's mostly all over. I have, you know, the beer gut, and that's the hardest thing to get rid of. But, like, I don't look. I mean, okay, look, I stepped on the scale. I weighed in at 324 pounds. I don't think I look that big. I look bigger, but 324 pounds was like, that's going to go away now. So...
I've only seen your bust.
You're big though. You're like 6'4", right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm 6'4". Yeah, so it's spread out a lot.
Yeah, you got room but to move that.
That's around. Way too much.
We only know you from the chest up.
Yeah, you
only
know me from mid chest up. But from the bottom of my beard up.
Right. So you look great to me. I don't know what you're trying to change. Just keep it up. Well, good. We're all on the same boat. I think the baby step issue is where I get into trouble. It's like, oh, well, lunch tomorrow, I'll order a sandwich. Dinner, what am I going to make? I've got these burgers laying around. And then the next day, it's almost like a complete refresh mentally to where you're like, oh, well, if I'll just get this or I'll eat that. And then before you know it, you've spent an entire week eating garbage and you didn't even know it. You didn't even mean to.
Yeah.
Which I think is what happens to us. It sneaks up on us in that fashion. We have to be very intentional about it if we want to stay ahead of the game.
It's the one decision. You make that one decision to break it, and then the justifications start.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, you know, I'm going to a birthday party. I'll be fine. I'm just going to enjoy a piece of cake and a piece of pizza, and we're going to be good. And then, oh, well, you know, I had a piece of cake yesterday. It's not that big of a deal. I'll have another one today and then I'll be done. Mm-hmm. But then it's the justification start. And next thing you know, you're a week in and you're like, I've eaten nothing but crap. And last night I had Wendy's, a family sized thing of nuggets from Wendy's. And that's where you're at.
Yeah. I sat down with 20 nuggets from McDonald's and ate them all.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So I'm keeping a food log. I'm logging everything that I eat. And I'm also trying to, you know, train myself. One of the things I'm terrible at is eating breakfast because I'm lazy about it.
Yeah.
So, but I really love a good fruit smoothie. So I've got a system set up to do that. I set it up the night before so I can just get up, drop it on the blender, blend, and I've got that to drink. And I have that in coffee until like noon.
Yeah.
And that helps because it's getting my metabolism kickstarted. It's the same thing every morning. I'm doing basically the same thing for lunch every day, trying to train myself that way, take the guesswork out of it so I can't falter, and tracking all of that while I'm doing it, keeping that journal so I can look back and be like, oh yeah, okay, here's why this has gone wrong, because I made this decision here and let it. So it's that keeping track of it's that accountability for me that I need.
Yeah.
For I gotta for tell us, you though.
Go ahead, Jake.
No. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, for us, it's like the birthday stuff happens, and then you get the one piece of pie that you go out for family dessert, And then you don't eat all of it because we always end up with too much dessert. So you take it home and then you feel bad throwing it away because someone made it when you should throw that junk on the ground. Like but we do it. We keep it and we're like, well, I feel bad throwing it away, but we know if we keep it in the house, we'll eat it. What are we doing? It's poison.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I hate to waste food. And that was a big problem for me, especially living alone, is it's hard to buy food for a person.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say a minute ago, Jacob?
Oh, I was going to say, actually, William has helped me significantly because he eats the best of all of us by far.
Yeah.
By far. I mean, he's eating, you know, blended up garbanzo beans and cucumbers and blueberries and strawberries and beans and little spears of asparagus. And that's just what he runs around and munches on. And that's all he does all day long. He doesn't eat sugar. He doesn't eat cakes. He doesn't eat, hamburger buns and bread and all that. But having him around has made me realize, I should eat a carrot or two with him. So I'll eat a carrot or two with him to say, here, see, Daddy eats it too. And the next thing you know, he's eating it and I'm eating it and we're both eating it. So I feel like this time of Tater Tot's life is the right time for me to kind of engage in that good eating habits because I'm reaping the benefits from it. Sorry, William. But he doesn't know any different. He's never had the sugar. He's never had those things. So he's happy with an asparagus spear, and I need to be too at some point.
Yeah.
So I actually feel like that's helped me over the last few weeks because now that he's actually eating a little bit more and doing his thing, it's I think helped us be a little more healthy on our end.
It would be pretty great if you could treat yourself or protect yourself in the same manner that you protect your children. Like, right? Why do we do that? We're like, I'm going to eat this Bojangles biscuit, but you can't have it. Here's a bunch of peppers. Like, yep. What is wrong with me? Definitely, it definitely has issues. So we'll keep everybody posted. If you two want to join the kind of haphazard, not really formal, get healthy challenge over in the Two Dorks community, you can join us over at twodorks.net/discord. Join in our Discord. We've got a health channel where we chatted about, different recipes and where we're at. And you can be as open about it or as not open as you want. There's really no judgment. If you're like, didn't hit the goal this week and that's all you want to say, that's all you want to say. If you want to be like, I weigh X amount and you want to be counted for it, that's cool too. You're in probably the safest community you could be in for sharing that kind of thing. And it's helpful. I've found it helpful. Just people knowing if I took a walk is kind of nice. But yeah, so great. Jacob, let's talk about you. You fill us in. Where you been?
Oh, I'm going to pimp them boobies, everybody. I'm pimping them boobies. I read an article this week, and I think it was a New York magazine. I can't remember which one, but essentially it was there are parents who are desperately looking for breast milk from vaccinated breastfeeding mothers. And the reason why is so that theoretically the antibodies within the breast milk, because now that they're starting to realize, yes, there are antibodies in breast milk, and yes, there potentially may be some benefit to this. Parents for kids that are 0 to 5 are just absolutely looking for this stuff everywhere. They're like, please give me a breastfeeding mother where I can buy some boob milk. And so I'm like, honey, you ever thought about a second career?
Going back to the Mad Max analogy, you're stepping in it. Mother's milk.
That's right. But yeah, it's kind of nuts because, before, purchasing breast milk was always thought as kind of this, hippie crunchy thing going on. But now I think a lot of parents of younger kids are starting to really investigate whether or not they have the option to buy breast milk as opposed to cow's milk, which is interesting. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm going to pimp them boobies. So,
well, that's no,
go ahead.
No. Flavor text. Go ahead.
Overall, I think I'm doing okay. I mean, at work we started having these discussions about how we would feel coming back and whether or not we should have at least a subset of meetings and where we all got together and had some of these meetings together in the same place and what we would feel comfortable with and what we wouldn't feel comfortable with. And so we're starting to have those discussions, which is nice. I got to tell you, it's nice to be able to have the discussion about what does the new normal look like and how do we track a path to get there. It's not nice because it's made me kind of realize where I'm at relative to this. I mean, I'm fully vaccinated, and I'm still not confident going out. I'm still not 100%. And, you know, I still try to minimize my time going out. I minimize my time in the grocery store. I still haven't been to a hardware store because that place is gross. but, you know, I'm still struggling with it, and I'm fully vaccinated. And the people around me are vaccinated, or at least a lot of them. And maybe it is because, you know, I am my child's turning one and he can't wear a mask and he can't get vaccinated. So I still have this underlying protection mechanism that's kicked in that I just don't even want to risk potentially bringing it home. But yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I'm trying to figure out what it would take for me to start returning to normal, because all around me, people are talking about, let's go to the bar, let's get together and do birthday parties, or let's go to these play places, or let's go get together and have dinner or something. And I'm like, have you guys lost your damn mind? I'm not going out to dinner and sitting in a restaurant with 100 of my closest or not closest friends without a mask on. No. Well, you're fully vaccinated. Come on. No, I'm not there yet. And so I guess I'm trying to figure out what it would take for me to get to that point where I'm 100% comfortable again, walking into a restaurant, sitting around 150 of my closest or not closest friends and enjoying a meal. I just don't know what it would take for me to get that comfort level again. So yeah, that's what I've been contemplating these days.
Yeah, we talked about this a few weeks ago, I think, because you had gotten fully vaccinated and were unsure. I can segue into my roundtable if that makes sense. If you're good,
no, feel free.
And we kind of continue the conversation. But I think I am at a point where I just got my second dose today. By the way, they swapped out the nice needles for just flipping horse needles. Like, I don't know what the devil. Like, I remember the first shot I got, it was like tiny little pinch, and I barely felt it. Today, she was like, you're going to feel a big stick. And it was like a big stick. It's like she took, she Groot's said. Arm and shoved it into my arm, and we became Groot together for a second. And I'm like, and Sam's sitting there staring at me, and I'm like, don't flinch. Don't flinch, because he's going to have to eventually get more shots. And I'm like, this is cool, easy peasy. And he's like, look at me, daddy, it's going to be great. I'm like, it is, it's great. My arm is killing me, I used a turkey baster to put that thing in me. But anyway, so all I can think about is that I am at, and to be completely open and honest, my anxiety over the past year has skyrocketed to just nonsense levels. And in particularly the last month has been an absolute train wreck for me mentally. I am at extreme isolation fatigue. I got nothing left to give to isolated life. I am toast, beyond toast. Like, I wish you could see into my brain how toast I am. There is people running around on fire. And then you have to do this show and horseshoes and hand grenades and generally try to be a positive force in the world. And I'm sitting there like the dog at the little gif with the fire all around him. This is fine. We're doing, this is great.
We're doing good.
And I'm losing the fuel to pretend as much. It's become very, very difficult to hold it all together. For multiple reasons. You know, it's just you're isolated all the time. I'm spending wonderful amounts of time with my family, but time that we need to be separate some, or we're going to eventually eat each other. Because you needed the individuality a little bit. There's Sam suffering as a six-year-old, going nuts and no one to play with. I went out trying to find people yesterday. I'm like, people nearby, how are you quarantining? I haven't talked to you in a long time. Are you doing okay? Oh, yeah, we don't go anywhere or do anything. Okay, great. Can we put our kids together? Yeah, probably in a few weeks we could probably. But I don't go anywhere, and you don't go anywhere. That means we can put our kids together. Oh, yeah, we're completely locked down. We'll see in family for the first time next week. I'm like, but that means we can get our kids together. Why do you not? And then I'm like, maybe they don't like me. Maybe they just don't want to hang out with me. And that's fine. I can deal with that. But I'm trying so hard to find an extended group. And that's been rough. And then we got this fun situation. And I'd like your guys' take on this too. I have become a binary judger. In a sense that I don't want to be this, but there are things that have happened in the last several years, and particularly this last year, that made me look at somebody and go, like, I could have had a conversation with you, but now I have such strong distaste for you, I no longer even want to be in the room. Like, I don't want to sit at a booth with you. I don't want to have a beer with you. You have said something that has completely dislodged everything else you just put into my head that I enjoyed. And this happened as recently as yesterday. I heard somebody say the words, I don't believe in the virus. And I'm like, F it. I thought you were cool. And I had to leave the room. And I'm just like, I don't like being that person. I don't like that this has put me there. But it's just the same thing I would say to somebody who's like, polio is a fiction. I'm like, what? You're so dumb and up your own butt. I don't even know how to, I don't even want to continue a relationship. Like, I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. I'm like, this is not pretend, y'all. Like, there are people, it's disrespectful. People have died. You might not have infected anybody with your reckless behavior, but people who behave like you have infected other people and have sent people to the grave. Like, it's not okay. These are not okay things to believe. It's not belief. It's the wrong kind of belief. It's just... There are hard rock bedrock evidence to what is causing all this stuff. Anyway, I'm losing it in that aspect. I'm just a total disaster. But yeah, so do you guys deal with you guys throwing people to the side because of their views right now, or am I?
100%. No,
yeah, I'm 100%. I'm much quicker. I'm much quicker to just give up on somebody. I hate to say that because it's just like it's never been my nature. Before, but man, you're seeing the worst in people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a struggle. So I'm just like, like the particular instance I'm thinking of, the other people chatting were just so chill, and I'm like, I would have lost it. I don't know, I would have held it together. Like I'm a podcast host. I'm supposed to hold it together, and I'd have been like, I will melt you down. You are wrong, and I'm much kudos. To the people that can hold it together.
Yeah. When somebody says they don't believe in COVID, my initial knee jerk response is I get lit up and I'm like, hold on, wait. What don't you believe in? Do you not believe that the virus exists? Do you not believe in our response? Do you not believe in the 2.8 million people that have died because of it? Oh, by the way, fun fact, go look at the death statistics for the overall population. For the last 10 years and just look at the trend and then look at last year. And we are grossly underestimating how many deaths are actually attributed to COVID or COVID being the disease and or the other things that are associated with COVID. Because the death rate is significantly higher last year than it was in the previous 10-year patterns. But anyway, beyond the point, 2.8 million people have died, right? So what don't you believe? Do you not believe that they died because of COVID, or what is it that you don't believe?
Yeah.
Because I struggle with that. It's yeah, sure. If you want to debate how we've responded, let's talk That's about open. That.
Yeah.
You could say, mm-hmm. I'm not 100% confident that we made the right choices in our response. And that is a very rational statement because I would say you're right. Let's talk about this because I'm not 100% sure. But if you tell me, I don't believe in the virus, I immediately dismiss you.
Yeah, I got nothing. It's like, Ashley brought this up in the chat. I was going to say this, but I forgot all about it. I said yesterday, I would rather hang out with a devout Satanist than talk to a virus denier for 10 minutes. Like, yeah. And that's, I am honest to God, that's how I believe. As even as a Christian, Jesus-following human being, I'd be like, hey, Satanist, let's go have a beer and talk about literally anything because I could hang out with you better, you know, than I could hang out with anyone in this the virus isn't real camp. Yeah. Or it's not worth protecting yourself over, you know, it's like, or protecting others over. Apparently you're just going to, if they tell me to wear a mask, I leave and I go somewhere where I don't have to. Like, suck a butt. Suck an actual butt.
And Kelly in the chat brings up the fact that what they probably meant by these statements are not that they don't necessarily believe in it, but there's just that they don't care. And that to me is just as bad, if not worse, because that means that you have zero care for your fellow man. And I really want to kick you in the nuts at that point.
Yeah, some of it is that. But I have had conversations with people who literally do not believe that there is a virus of any kind. And that all of it is manufactured and used as a way to control people, like genuinely believe that, that the virus is a creation of the government in order to control you more. There's some crazy ass people around here.
I have worked for the government. They are not that clever. Like, this is not, I don't know who these people think work for the government. It's mostly a bunch of mid-20s idiots who just need to get paid. Like, I don't know what they're after or what they think is orchestrating all this, but they are not as brilliant as you want to believe they are. It doesn't work that way. You know?
Yeah.
Just can't, there's no random cabal out there that's just like, oh, we met down at the Bilderberg. Like, shut up. Like, just stop. It's not a thing.
Yeah, go look at the political parties and who leads the political parties. Either one of them. And just take a look at them and listen to them and go, can they really be just secretly super smart and just outsmarting all of us? Would they make some of the most ridiculous, dumbass statements? You're like, nope.
Yeah.
This guy cannot pull one over on me. Everybody may think he is, but he's not.
Mm-hmm. It's just
conspiracy theorists have never been project managers. That might be the best thing I've heard all day.
That is really great. Beautiful. That's really great. Thank you, Danny Ora, for that. Yeah, it's just I can't imagine like even five brilliant, you know, people manipulators sitting together and getting along. Like, they're not going to be on the same page. These type A's argue with other type A's to just add not, like, it's nauseating the level of argument that occurs. They would get nothing done. They would just fuss about who needed to control who and how to do it, and it would end in nothing.
And then who reports to who?
Yeah, right? Yeah. What's my title? It's like, no, people have always been dumb. We'll never be able to control the masses like we think we can.
You're wrong. Bill Gates, he does give two shits. He gives so many shits, he puts in, you know, microchips into all of us so that he could track us and everything that we do, right? Isn't that one of the theories, theories?
That's one. Yep.
That's one. Yeah. So, Og, you need to get up on your conspiracy theories, because clearly you haven't been paying attention.
It's such a shame, too, because Bill Gates is out there, like, re-engineering sanitation for India. He's trying to figure out what to do with all these wasted nuclear cooling rods to get more energy out of them and actually use them instead of just dumping them in a lake somewhere. Like, he's trying to save the planet. And we're just like, Bill Gates is microchipping people and trying to take him over. It's like, I promise you, Bill Gates is way more interested in getting rid of malaria than he is putting a chip in your dumb butt to watch you sit on your couch and yell at the TV all day. Like, we're not interesting enough.
I just want to go back to the simple conspiracy theories, like Paul McCartney is dead and replaced by a lookalike in 1965. Yeah. Like, that's fun to me.
Yeah, and you wear the helmets because you think that the radio waves are penetrating into your brain. And, you know, those are the kind of days, the conspiracy days that I long for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Kelly, dead. I do think he cares. And the reason why I think he cares is because I believe he married a woman that brings out the best in him. And the best is that he cares and he's going to do whatever he can to try to solve some of the world's problems. And it may not be him 20 years ago, but it's him today, because he's now in a position, not only in his personal life, but also in his professional life and his financial life, to be able to make those kind of differences. So I feel like she's 100% brought out the best in him and everyone around her. She's a fantastic woman.
She's a lens. She targeted his superpower. She pointed his superpower at things that matter instead of just letting him make more money until he explodes. Like, and it helps that his best friend is Warren Buffett, who's like, surround yourself with people who make you better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he reads things that make him better. You know, that I've always thought that what you read and what you watch is as much your crew as the actual people you hang around. What goes into your brain influences you. So you have to find things that influence the best of you and not just feed the one wolf that's trying to destroy you. You know, that old parable about the two wolves fighting and which one wins, whichever one you feed. Yep. That whole thing. It's a really good story.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm with you.
Speaking of good stories, now that we got through all this, let's do the isolation report, shall we? Pfizer and BioNTech. Oh, that sweet, sweet medicine I got running through my veins right now and causing my arm to be in just absolute pain. Its COVID-19 vaccine is 100% effective and tolerated in adolescents. Anybody surprised? Are you guys surprised by that statistic at all? I wasn't really.
After the last 6 months, no, because we've been talking about it so much. But I think if a year ago you would have come to me with this data with zero expectation, I would have been like, yeah, I'm surprised.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So it's the 100% that we're like, well, it worked 100% in normal, you know, in adults. It might as well work 100% in other humans that are just slightly smaller. Clinical trial results of Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine showed its efficacy is 100% and is well tolerated in youths aged 12 to 15. Pfizer and BioNTech plan to submit the data to the Food and Drug Administration as soon as possible for expanded emergency authorization of the two-dose vaccine, meaning your high schoolers might be on the next phase to get a hold of this sweet, sweet drug. In phase 3 trial of 2,260 participants, the vaccine elicited strong antibody responses 1 month after the second dose, exceeding those demonstrated in people ages 16 to 25 in previous trials. Pfizer BioNTech added that the side effects seen in young teens were similar to those in 16 to 25-year-olds. Common side effects include pain at the injection site. Oh, boy, yeah. Fatigue and fever. The participants will be monitored for protection and safety for 2 years after their second dose. So that's where I guess the emergency use authorization allows us to put it in people. But we really need longer-term data to determine if that was a good idea or not. Good deal. All right. The Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla, said, "We share the urgency to expand the authorization of our vaccine to use in younger populations and are encouraged by the clinical trial data from adolescents. We plan to submit this data to FDA as proposed amendment to our emergency use authorization in the coming weeks and to other regulators around the world with the hope of starting to vaccinate this age group before the start of the next school year." Dr. Peter Hotez, co-director of the Center for Vaccine Development at the Texas Children's Hospital, said that, "I think it's likely a green light to move forward, to move down in terms of vaccine adolescents to 12 to 15. He notes the vaccine will still need to be evaluated for authorization in that group. This is good news. Nothing but good news about vaccines working in more people, particularly more mobile people, more people we have less control over, people whose frontal lobe isn't fully developed, like, you know, people who don't believe in the virus. we need this to work on all the people. Even the dumbest of us need this thing."
I mean, number one, they had to do the study. But number two, I mean, there was cause for a little bit of concern in younger kids because the response, the immune response is much, much, much more pronounced than in younger adults. The immune response for a 70-year-old wasn't necessarily as strong as the immune response we had seen in 20-year-olds. I think the fear was is that the earlier you get, the potentially more the immune response could take over. It's a good sign that it doesn't appear to have that effect. But again, I mean, we're still only talking about 2,000 kids, right, that have been tested. It's still low numbers, but typically children studies like this are low numbers. So, it's a step in the right direction.
It definitely is.
So, speaking of step in the right direction, vaccine cards, the only proof of vaccination, have created a demand for fakes.
Yeah, why does your vaccination card say McLovin on it?
Are you sure this picture is you?
Considering they don't have pictures, then it's not.
It's the old ID from the 1850s. You're just like, yeah, that's my name.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's me. Of course it is.
It's just this nondescript card that has the CDC logo in the upper left-hand corner. That's it. And then a couple of handwritten notes
It's got the embossed logo. You got to be able to find the little compressor thingy. Like, it's been notarized. That's how you know. That can't be faked.
Heightened interest in COVID-19 vaccine cards could lead to fakes. No other documents are given at the time of the shot, so many people are considering them proof of vaccination. They're not intended to be. The cards are designed to serve as an old school reminder for the second dose of the Pfizer or the Moderna shot. They have a CDC and a CDC logo, but no other security features. There's nothing fancy about them, said a scholar from Johns Hopkins, blah, 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 blah. I think of them almost like a souvenir. It's really just a piece of paper is what that scholar said. Chicago, which has an emergency travel order in place, recommends returning residents from out-of-state out-of-state visitors arriving in the city, bring a copy of your COVID-19 vaccination records, which I'm assuming is that card is what they're referring to. The CDC advises Americans to keep their vaccination cards in case they need it for future use, and to consider taking a picture of it as a backup copy. Office Depot and Staples are offering it to laminate them for free. There are some Uber drivers who have been spotted displaying their vaccination cards, presumably to make riders more comfortable. People are reportedly showing off their cards on their dating profiles to attract companions.
No glory holes at this place. I got my vaccination card.
No, we're not about to put a wall between us.
We're going face to face, baby. Let's get dangerous.
But don't put your picture of your vaccination card online, or somebody will make an NFT out of it.
Right.
Or something. Isn't that what happens now? I don't
know. Yeah, you're selling your NFTs. Oh gosh, I need to catch up. I feel so out of the loop on NFTs. That's a
different
podcast.
I don't even know
if
that's how it works, but whatever. Yes, it is.
I think it sounds good.
What other things could you need the fake vaccination for? Travel is one, which was highlighted. Yeah, I mean, dating sites, I think that's a pretty good one.
Concert venues, man.
Concert venues,
yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, any venue working that puts you together. Sporting events, indoor sporting events would be a big one. But big question is, what do they do with that knowledge? Like, do you start... Let's say they still want to try to keep a minimum amount of people in a football stadium, because they go, this is the vaccinated section. It's like smoking and non-smoking. Like, this is the vaccinated section. We can pile that's as many people as we want in here with the card. But if you don't have the card, you got to, it's until we're full.
It's 6 foot spacing.
Yeah, 6 feet space in between everybody. I love it. Which section would you like to sit in, sir? Oh, the vaccination section, please. Thank you. Does it come with a free mimosa?
Will they just stop selling non-vaccination seats, or selling by higher prices, because now they have to get rid of 36 seats around you because you can't have anybody within 6 feet of you, right? So do you sell them for 36x the price?
This is the worst timeline.
That's a good question.
This is the worst. We are in the worst timeline. This reality sucks balls. I want to return it. Because we're having conversations about, masks. What's your mask look like? Oh, mine's got pictures of Darth Vader on it. Now we're like, hey, are you sitting in the vaccine section or the non-vaccine section? It's like, this entire world we're in right now could just die. And then there's people selling pictures of Jack Dorsey's first tweet for $20 million or some stupid. I don't understand the world anymore. It has gone. I used to be hip and with it. Now I don't even know what hip and with it means.
That's true.
So lost.
What you could do is buy a Cheeto that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Wasn't there one on sale last week for over $10,000?
Arnold's the new Jesus. Cheeto. People used to buy Jesus and toast. That kind of got old. So now it's Arnold in a Cheeto.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, he is pretty cool.
Arnold Schwarzenegger Cheeto.
Well, something that people aren't spending a whole lot of money on is booze, apparently, now. So Americans spent the pandemic stocking up on booze, but that could be changing. The bender appears to be over for the booming booze sales sparked by the pandemic. For the first time in a year since COVID-19 began spreading across the United States, forcing Americans to stay home, retail alcohol sales have fallen. That's according to newly released data from Nielsen, which apparently tracks that, and TV ratings. Weird, but okay. Which reported that total sales declined 1.9% for the week ending March 13th. So it's not a large dip, but it is a dip. This time a year ago, consumers stockpiled alcohol as shelter-in-place orders were implemented across the U.S. states and bars and restaurants were closed or reduced service. As a result, retail alcohol sales shot up as much as 55% in March 2020, with spirits, wine, and beer among the top sellers. Those are kind of the three categories of alcohol.
Spirits, yeah, I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for the people that use sanitizer, hand sanitizer to
mouthwash.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Mm. Now the trend appears to be waning. According to Danielle Cosmall, Vice President of Beverage Alcohol at Nielsen IQ. The decline also reflects. Yeah, that is. That's a great one. The decline also reflects the reopening of bars and restaurants, which contribute heavily to alcohol sales. Nielsen said Tuesday's report doesn't track that metric, which is known as on-premises sales. Despite the declines, consumers are still buying lots of booze. Nielsen said that retail sales of spirits, wine, and beer are still roughly 20% to 30% higher this month than compared to March 2019. The research firm warns that these trends will flatten in the coming weeks as more states reopen. So it's not so much that people aren't buying as much alcohol. They're just not buying as much more alcohol as they were 2 years ago.
Gotcha.
We're leveling out.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we're not buying as much as a year ago, but we're still buying more than we were
2 years
ago. Pre-pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, the opening of restaurants and bars is obviously going to change that, right? Because how many people are going to be like, I can go to the bar now and drink.
Woo woo.
That couldn't do that before. And so they were just buying it and drinking sad and alone. Now they can be sad. Now they can go sit at the bar and be sad and around a bunch of people.
That's
right. Being sad with friends is definitely better than being sad alone, I'd say.
That's very true.
It's true. I despise crowded bars. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't.
After really working once you've worked the door at a bar as a doorman, you hate a crowded bar forever.
Yeah, I remember as a bouncer in college, it was rough.
Yep,
I was never a bouncer. Could you imagine being a bouncer? Was. Like, hey, friends, you want me to like hit that guy? What does this do to like craft beers and stuff? I know they were suffering early on because people weren't going to the bars where most craft beer was being consumed because it's hard to get shelf space. And sometimes your local bar carries like nothing but local beer. Is this good or bad for them? Do we know?
I think it's bad because most of the people that are stockpiling have been stockpiling on shit beer and seltzers. White Claw, baby. That's what everybody's going after.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that everybody's going after the local brewery Aviator Oatmeal Stout. They're going after the White Claw Spritzer.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they were stocking up on. But now that the bars are going to reopen, that you're able to get out, I do think we're going to see I know I'll probably see it here because we have so many kind of craft breweries in this town. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy for the size of area that I live in, how many craft breweries and distilleries and wineries we've got. But them opening up at all, I think I'm going to see more people going and getting and taking away, you know, getting a growler or half a growler.
Yep.
As they can go and have a beer and then leave.
Yeah.
I would be comfortable doing that. Fully vaccinated, much more than just sitting at the bar and drinking beer after beer.
Yeah, yeah. There's three breweries that are here in the little local area that I live in. Four. And two of them handled the pandemic in a way where they were like, yeah, drive up and we'll fill up your growler and you drive around the circle and we'll provide your growler back to you or buy a six pack as you're driving up. So they've done these kind of drive through scenarios or, you know, try to pick them up or try to be clever with the way they're selling it. The other two did not. The other two shut down. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think people are wanting to support local businesses and local breweries and do those kinds of things. But if the local breweries aren't really figuring out how to do that, they're not staying alive at this point.
And you have to honestly, pivot, man.
But
the people that are creating these microbreweries and these distilleries and all that are the type of people that pivot and more often than not are going to be kind of ahead of the curve on a lot of stuff like that from my experience dealing with them. So I do think that is going to help them quite a bit too. Much more so than like a standard restaurant maybe is, or even a chain restaurant, because they're usually set in their ways. Whereas your brewers, and everything. They're constantly trying new things all the time anyway. So changing it up and doing something different isn't going to be as hard for them. I think that's why a lot of them here have stayed. Because there's probably a dozen or more microbreweries that are in my city, not just the region, but my city. And I think most all of them are still around.
Really?
That's great. Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. Have you drank more beer or wine or spirits since the beginning of the pandemic? Less or about the same?
For me, it's
I'm about the same. Yeah, I would say I'm about the same because I'm not a heavy drinker anyway. I would have some when I'd go out, and I occasionally have it at home, and that's about it. And that's basically what it's been like for me. I don't drink any more or any less than I did before.
I do all of my drinking with Jacob. So without IWW to pound down a few, and you're a new dad, drinking is different when you first become a dad, because you can't, you know, if you're sitting there having a beer and everything's fine, but your baby falls off the couch and like busts its head, you're kind of in a pickle there, because you don't want to run to the hospital with alcohol in your breath, or CPS comes in and they're like, we need to investigate why you were drunk, and you're like, I'm not drunk. Yeah. So the game is played a little different. First couple years of being a parent. But yeah, I would say I would be drinking more if it was normal. I kind of go get a Blue Moon 6-pack every now and then, and it'll take me a week or two to get through that. I'll sit down and be like, I'll have this. But then other times I'm like, if I drink that this late, I'm not going to sleep well for one, and I'm going to wake up not feeling great either. So, you know, I want to have a lot of fun with my beer. I don't want to just sit and watch a movie with my beer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Need to have that.
Yeah, I'm much more likely to drink around friends and socially. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've drank far less in the last year than I have previously. I mean, I might have a glass of scotch. Shoot, I'm at about once a month at this point, if that. I've almost eliminated beer from my diet at this point. I haven't brewed a beer since Wally's wedding.
It's weird, man. You come out, you're given the opportunity. Like, for one thing, once lifestyle changes happen because new life comes along, you start filtering out the things you need versus the things you really want, and you have to start kind of deciding what's most important. And then pandemic hits, and you're in the same kind of boat. You're like, what is most important? What do I mostly want to do? You know, so it's a different kind of game. But yeah, we'll get back to, we need to drink more, Jacob. Maybe when we go to the beach, you and I can drink some more.
Oh, when we go to the beach, you and I, baby, you and I, every night.
Yeah.
Not every day. Let's not go down that road again. We tried that once. We screwed that up.
We said that last time. Commit
to every night rather than all day, every day.
Jacob and I get half a keg. We're like, we're going to destroy this thing. There's half of the half left over by the time we left. Because by the end of the day, we're just like, do you want to drink anymore? No, I'm done. But speaking of drinking and eating and being merry, let's talk about Krispy Kreme. COVID vaccine motivation. Krispy Kreme is giving away free donuts for showing your vaccination card through end of 2021. Souvenir, doctor, whatever your name is. I don't think so. It's a ticket to free donuts.
That's right, baby.
Eat a butt. We're going to eat these donuts. Right. You need it. Krispy Kreme is providing a sweet incentive to encourage more people to roll up their sleeves for the COVID-19 vaccine. Free donuts through the end of 2021. That's this whole year, y'all. That's
I not know, just like guys.
Now. And this plays on what Danny Ora was saying. Give me a vaccine and a coffee. I'll get vaccinated all day, every day.
How about a thing of free donuts every day for the rest of the year?
give me the money. Yeah, I want at least a half a dozen hot and ready. Starting on Monday, consumers who show a valid COVID-19 vaccination card at locations nationwide will get a free original glazed donut. The freebie's valid at all 369 Krispy Kreme shops located in 41 states and available anytime, any day, every day for the rest of the year. No purchases necessary. Krispy Kreme is also offering.
Hold on, wait, Steven. I got to stop you there. Yeah. No purchase necessary. You can walk in with a card and say, "Give me a donut," and they'll give you a donut, and then you just turn around and walk out.
Do they, Steven,
every
it?
Day for the rest of the year?
Do they stamp it or hole punch it or something? Or can you just
no? It's every day. No purchase necessary. Anytime, any day, every day for the rest of the year.
Why is Krispy Kreme prohibitively far away from where I am right now? Like, I know where one is, but they're both 30 minutes in, like, opposite directions from me, and it's just...
Oh, yeah. If 30 minutes, I'd make the drive, but for me, it's probably a solid 2 hours. I'm probably 150 miles from a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, I'll go find you one and mail it to you. Like, there's one in downtown Raleigh, but it's just stupid to get to, and it's 30 minutes away, and now, when I go back to the building, if I ever go back to the building that I work in, it's only a few blocks. It's like a half That's a mile. Sure. Go in there for that. That would be worth it. Krispy Kreme is also offering up to 4 hours of paid time off for each of its COVID-19 vaccinations for its employees. The promotion is long-term for a reason. Krispy Kreme wants people to have a chance to take advantage of it. After all, not everyone's eligible for vaccine yet. We wanted to be big enough to sort of catch people's attention and spread awareness, Dave Skeena, the chief marketing officer, says. I think anything anyone can do to help show support for those getting the vaccine is a good thing right now. And so we're just trying to do what little we can. Honestly, one donut is how much off their bottom line? Like, one donut nothing. Per person? They're not going to be hurting because somebody's going to come in there and go, I want a donut, and then I want to buy a dozen donuts that wouldn't have gone right in there otherwise.
All I know is good on you, Krispy Kreme. I wish more companies were like you. All they're trying to do is say, you know something? I'm going to encourage you to get a vaccine. And if you get a vaccine, we'll hook you up.
Yeah. You know what we can do?
Their business will do better because of it, I have a feeling.
I got an idea.
Well, plus it generates all sorts of good PR and goodwill.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. I would like to offer to anyone who gets a vaccine 2 podcasts per week on average from the Two Dorks community. How you like that? How you like that for
there
free?
You go. Yeah, I'll offer free. The same thing. Yeah. 2 podcasts every week for free.
Yeah. So boom.
2.5 actually.
Yeah. Travis, you do 3 podcasts every week. That's for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
completely free.
Make up a new podcast now. Dag nabbit. But yeah, show your vaccine card.
Exactly.
Jacob. What's next?
International spectators will be refused entry into Japan for Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal.
This is a big deal.
International
Where are they going to get laid now?
I know. Well, hold on. Wait. The community there, that's mostly athletes just boning athletes. That's not spectators boning spectators. Or athletes boning spectators.
Much less attractive people getting together versus the basic best of human beings. Gotcha.
They're saying less attractive people, you're not allowed. More attractive people, we want you here. Yeah. And you can bone all you want. Here are your
glory
condoms.
Holes.
Yes, the glory holes of condoms. That's what we're going to give you. International spectators will be refused entry into Japan for this summer's Olympic and Paralympic Games, the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee said in a statement Saturday. Any tickets bought by overseas residents for the postponed games scheduled to begin on July 23rd will be refunded. The decision was taken following the virtual meeting of the 5 parties. It's like the 5 families of the Olympic Planning Committee.
The 5 houses.
It's the Iowa. Let's all get together, the 5 families. What was the office? The office 5 families. Does anybody remember that?
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
It was Bob Vance from Vance Refrigeration.
I remember that. It was
Michael Scott. It was some motorcycle company. I don't remember. If somebody
they were like
remembers
all in that business park or whatever, and they all got together.
That's right. We had to call a meeting of the 5 families. It's... I'm not going to go through them, but just everybody, there are 5 families that actually get together for the Olympic Committee and make decisions. And all 5 of them apparently saying they fully respect and accept the conclusion. Currently, the COVID-19 situation in Japan and many other countries around the world is still very challenging, and a number of variant strains have emerged, whilst international travel remains severely restricted globally. Based on the present situation of the pandemic, it is highly unlikely that entry into Japan will be guaranteed this summer for people from overseas. Organizers say the decision will further contribute to ensure safe and secure games for all participants and the Japanese public, and it will not affect accredited game participants who will be required to continue following the Tokyo 2020 playbooks, which I think we covered a couple weeks ago. But yeah, so now no more spectators, guys.
That's a shame.
You know, international spectators.
International right. spectators, yeah. They can bring people in from other regions of Japan, I'm assuming.
The home team can have their family at the game, but nobody else sure. can. That's so unfortunate. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the times gone by. It's been so long now, I kind of forgot what a crowded space looked like and how I do miss that. Like, I was thinking about when Jacob, you and I and the rest of the family went to Gonza Tacos that yeah. one time, and there was just kids all over the play space and just people everywhere, and it was a fun atmosphere. Like, I want that again, and this is another example of like a fun atmosphere, everybody getting together to share their energy and, you know, lift up these incredible athletes and how far they've come and whatnot, and that's going to be so missing. I just hope the camera doesn't pan a lot. Like, just keep it on the torch. Just don't aim it around the room at all the empty seats. Like, I can't mentally handle that.
I'm not worried about that much. What I'm worried about are the athletes that are going to be going by themselves.
Sure.
Because typically when you go to the Olympic Games, that is a celebration. And usually it's younger people. It's in their teenagers or early 20s. Their lives have been whatever sport that they're playing. And their yep. people who support them are generally their families. And so it's a celebration, not just for the athlete, but it's a celebration for their families as well, because they're the ones who have put in just as much time as the athletes. And so they get to, it culminates their athletic careers, a lot of them. And so it's, you don't want to spend that alone. I mean, I remember toward the end of my swimming career, and I was traveling alone. My parents didn't travel with me anymore whenever I was 16, 17, 18 years old, because I was driving, or they would be okay with me flying off to these other swim meets in different locations around the country. And they were fine with it because, you know, we had a group of people that we all stayed with. And so I guess, you know, I know what it feels like to be alone in that kind of athletic environment. And it doesn't feel good. It feels like something's missing. And I guarantee you these athletes will definitely feel that way. Yeah. And so I feel bad for the athletes' families that really have sacrificed a ton just to get there.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm with you on that. So the U.S. is beginning testing of Moderna's COVID vaccine booster shots for variants from South Africa. The National Institutes of Health has started testing a new coronavirus vaccine from Moderna designed to protect against a problematic variant first found in South Africa, the news agency said Wednesday. The phase one trial, led and funded by NIH Allergy and Infectious Diseases, will test how safe and effective the new shot is against the variant in roughly 210 healthy adults. So not a large sample size. The trial, which has already administered some of its first shots, will include approximately 60 adults who participated in Moderna's original COVID-19 vaccine trials last year, as well as approximately 150 people who haven't received a vaccine yet. The returning participants, who were given two shots of the original vaccine 28 days apart at varying doses early last year, will split up. Some of them will be given a single booster shot with the new vaccine at a higher dose, while some will receive a new vaccine at a lower dose. The remaining participants will be offered a booster shot with the original vaccine as part of a separate clinical trial protocol. Researchers will take blood samples from participants throughout the trial that can be tested against other circulating strains of the virus to determine whether the vaccine produces an immune response. The variant appears to spread easier than the wild-type original strains, and research indicates it can possibly evade some of the protections generated by therapeutics and vaccines.
This is a big deal, this whole variant thing, and we can get into this a little bit, but like, I was reading, my dad sent me a post, CNBC had published a story about experts, epidemiologists from 28 countries had mentioned that they expect that our vaccines will be useless within 9 months to a year against variants as things continue to spread despite our vaccines in place. And that's kind of horrifying, because you're like, are we seriously going to drop right back to where we were? And I mean, it's somewhat just kind of theories right now. I mean, so far the Brazil, the UK, and the South Africa variant are the vaccines we have right now are effective against them.
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, they're maybe less effective. You might get more symptoms, but they're still 100% effective against hospital and death, right? So I guess at what point do we worry? Obviously, we're going to keep researching vaccines against any variants we see. So there's hope that whatever reaction we can have next time is, if it were to start evading our vaccines, would be faster. I don't know. Jacob, do you know anything about the FDA's rules when it comes to augmenting a vaccine to work better against new strains? Like, can they start from a base and go, okay, well, we know here, here's a variant of the same strand. We just need to make these modifications. Is it a whole nother year?
No. I mean, it's exactly what TV's Travis just read. I mean, you've got to go through a phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 trial. Mm-hmm. But as far as getting the manufacturing lines put up and all of the things, the infrastructure required, that's already established. These mRNA viruses or these mRNA vaccines are really just you make gentle tweaks and then you can develop more vaccine. And then you can test them. So I have a feeling the lead time is going to be reduced significantly. The question is, can we get trials fast enough?
Right.
And that's the thing that we don't necessarily know. I mean, if you look at this trial, this is a great example. This is a phase 1 trial for this variant. And what they're doing is they're going back to people that have already had shots and looking at boosters and the effective boosters. And they're saying, now that we're giving you a booster, does this actually help you against wild type and against the variant? Or is it just still against wild type? They're still going to be required to show some proof and some safety and some efficacy data. But as far as the lead time is concerned, it's definitely going to be reduced significantly.
How different is it from something like the yearly flu vaccine and the fact that we are tweaking? Because that gets tweaked every year, doesn't it?
So the mutation rate for the flu is much higher than the mutation rate for COVID. Okay. And so if we can decrease the transmission, then that means the likelihood of mutations is lower because it doesn't mutate as fast as the flu. So the goal here is really to get as many people vaccinated as possible so that you can reduce transmission, thereby reducing the number of mutants and the variants, essentially. The problem is that if we can't vaccinate fast enough, then the number of variants are going to go up because the number of transmissions have gone up.
Right.
And then we may be in a position where there may be a variant that might mutate just as fast or just as frequently as the flu does. And so then, we may be back to square one and do this yearly flu-like type of inoculation. But right now, it doesn't appear that it mutates as fast. But we've got to get transmission under control or else we're still going to have to deal with this issue regardless.
Sure.
So what you're saying is spring break with thousands of people standing on top of cars and each other is probably a bad decision.
That would qualify as bad decision in my book. But,
what are you going to do? Dragon Con. That's come up a few times. That happens in the end of August, Labor Day weekend. I still have not got myself a room for it. I know Travis hasn't got himself a room for it. I know you haven't got yourself a room. I know if I were to propose getting a room, there would be intense discussion over whether that was a good decision. I don't know what to do in terms of some of these cons. We've had cons already canceled for July, already gone to virtual. That's a real interesting kind of place to be looking towards the fall season. Are we going to be better? Are we going to be looking at Thanksgiving and going, oh, well, that variant went wild and now we're not sure if we can do anything again. I don't know where I'm going with that other than I was just musing on it. Mostly because I want to go.
The good news is for me, I don't really have to worry about it because I can't go regardless because I'm going to be the one watching Tater Tot.
Yeah, he's a little young.
If anybody goes, it's going to be the talent of the household and not me. It's going to be Ashley. So I don't have to worry about making that decision because I know what my Labor Day weekend's going to entail, which is watching Tater Tot. The question that I think Ashley needs to answer is whether or not she feels comfortable going. And, there's a lot more that goes into that discussion and decision, but that's ultimately going to be on her.
Yeah. I guess I want to hold out hope for things like that. I mean, it's like I was talking about at the top of the show, the isolation fatigue is just getting the best of me. And I don't want to be, I don't want to be like, well, heck, I'll go where 50,000 people are. That sounds foolish. But I would like to go sit outside a restaurant and eat a hamburger and feel okay about it. Like that feels like a thing I would mind doing.
I don't want to go to a theater on a Friday night when it's packed full of people, but I want the theater to be open so I can go Tuesday at 9 o'clock and watch a movie with four people in the theater and my giant tub of popcorn.
I think that's like the first thing I want to do. Like after I've gone and visited parents and after I've got all that out of the way, it's like, I would like to
Alamo
go
Draft House, baby.
I would like to go to Alamo Draft House at 10 a.m. and watch literally anything. I don't even care what it is. As a fully vaccinated human being, and just be like, finally, I can watch a movie in a theater and support a place I love. But that would be enough.
Give me my refill of popcorn. That's all I gotta say. Give me my refill of popcorn.
If you ever eat popcorn with Jacob and there's free refills and you say, I don't think we need another one, and he agrees to not get another one, you have made a mistake because he wants more popcorn. He wants them.
I'm with you on that. I was the guy that used to take home the bag of popcorn at the end of the night when I would volunteer at our local theater. I would dump everything into a giant plastic bag and I'd have popcorn for like 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh. It's delicious. It's the best thing ever. Yeah, man. But I think we'll get there. We just got to keep the variants under control. Did we have any deeper of a dive that we wanted to go in on anything particular?
I wanted to bring up the straw poll that we did not quite a year ago. But we're talking about, reopening. We're talking about going to these new places or going to these places that we previously loved to go to. And it reminded me of a straw poll that we had done back in May 27th of last year. And this was 2 months in. And the question was, where are you at today relative to the stay-at-home orders? And the different responses that we had were, it's all a hoax. Open up now, not tomorrow, now. It looks like zero people voted for that one.
We can be friends.
Nope. The other one was, I'm starting to, or I go out for essentials and I'm suited up. I'm waiting on more data. Once I hear that we have started meeting the CDC milestones, I'm more willing to go out. I think, we're starting to meet those milestones, right?
A year later, I should hope so.
A year later. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And about half of the participants voted for that one. I'm starting to carry on with my new life. And now I have this rad new mask, these black gloves and disinfectants wipes always at the ready. And there were a quarter of people that had voted for that. Which I think we're there too. Most people have skipped the gloves and maybe on the disinfectant wipes, but for the most part, you definitely are suited up with your mask when you go out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. The next one was, I want my old life back without a mask or gloves, but I am willing to practice social distancing. I think there's a large percentage of the community that are there. Mm-hmm. Maybe not even with the social distancing, looking at the spring breakers down in Miami. And then the last one is, nope, a vaccine needs to be coursing through my veins before I'm willing to re-engage. And that one piqued a little bit of interest there because, Stephen, I know you've got a vaccine coursing through your veins, and I have a vaccine coursing through my veins. Are we willing to and ready to re-engage?
So I've got to wait till it's taken, 2 weeks after your second dose. But let's assume that happens. I would put myself in the, I want my old life back without a mask or gloves, but I'm willing to practice social distancing. I will wear a mask. I guess I don't worry about gloves and disinfectants. Times have changed when it comes to our understanding of surface spread. I'll wear the mask. I will social distance. But I want to be able to go in a bookstore or go just perusing the shelves somewhere to look at something. Like I want to go back to looking at things, going to parks without stressing about it. Those are things I want. And I think I need, or I will mentally collapse into an unrecognizable husk.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't have a vaccine in me yet. I'm still waiting, but I am in the same boat. I want to get back to being able to do some things again. However, I'm going to keep a mask in the car. And when I'm going inside a building, when I'm going in places, even when I'm fully vaccinated, I'll have that at the ready because I don't see any reason not to. But yeah, I'm very much in the same boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still struggling with this one because I have the vaccine. I've got it coursing through my veins. I should be at peak immunity right now. And I'm willing to reengage. I just don't know how, because I don't know what I feel comfortable with. I don't have a lot of information relative to transmission with vaccinated people and whether or not, you know, they could still transmit. They could be potentially carriers, et cetera. And, you know, maybe it is just me being a new dad that just that's made me more risk averse relative to that. But I mean, Stephen, you've known me for a long time. I am not anxiety is not something that I have ever worried about. These kind of fears have never been a thing that I've ever worried about, but maybe it is just me being a new dad, but I will tell you that I think I'm worried for William more than I am myself at this point. Cause I feel like I could re-engage tomorrow if I made that decision and I would be fine. I feel like Ashley could re-engage and she would be fine. That's not what I'm worried about. And maybe it's just that. I don't know. But I don't know what the right steps are for me. And, man, I've been struggling with that because I can't come to a final decision with it. I'm almost have decision paralysis here.
Well, you're carrying a other, like, if we're going allegorical about it, you're carrying a human being in your arms who has zero defenses every time you go out, whether they're with you or not. You've got them with you because you're going to come home with whatever you went out and got, you know, and until you can prove that negative of no one with the vaccine passes it, we don't have any evidence that it happens, but we also don't have any evidence that it doesn't happen. There's nobody saying, like, if you're vaccinated, you will not spread it. Like, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. Yeah, I get it because you've got a 1 year old. And the reason I'm not running out to the bookstore, you know, tomorrow with my mask on or whatever is I do have Sam and he's six, you know, he could probably handle it, but he's also got asthma. He's got like seasonal childhood asthma that will hopefully eventually go away. But like even my dad was talking about a guy he knew whose son had asthma. He had a tough go. He got through it. He came out fine, but he suffered more than the other kids in the family did when they got it. I don't want to be responsible for that. I want that to be the thing that happens, but I also don't know how much longer I can deal with the isolation. Sam can deal with the isolation. As a family, we can deal with the isolation before we murder each other. I wouldn't murder my family. I love them to the moon and back. But you know what I mean? It's just that you're in this bubble, and I'm too much of an extrovert. Despite being a shy extrovert, I am an extrovert. People energize me. Without this show and without Discord and without conversation like this, I would not be okay. And it's just coming to a head. I need to go wave at someone I don't know and say, hey, hope you're having a great day today at the checkout counter.
Hey, yeah. What's up? And I'm the exact same way. I am 100% energized by people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been, you and Ashley joke that I'm the mayor of our town. And yes. I'm struggling. I'm really struggling not seeing people because that's my life. I know people. I like to high five people. I like to be around people and just chat with people and find out what they've been up to. And I just haven't had that opportunity to, and it's killing me. But at the same time, I don't know when is the right time. And man, it's just a hard decision.
It is. But we will all get there together as we, on this show, and as we move forward, and we'll We'll make it happen. I'm hoping.
Let's do it.
I hope it settles in and it gets easier to make that decision for you. I really do. As someone who has dealt with underlying anxiety for a long, long, long time about various things, like I always look up to people like you and other folks I know who are just like, why are you worried about that? That's stupid. Don't worry about that. And I hate to see you down in that zone. You've come down into the muck and mire of worry with me, and you don't need to be down here. You belong outside of it.
Yeah, and the other thing is it hasn't affected other decision-making.
Sure, like, yeah.
I still don't worry about the things that I've never worried about. Those things are just, to me, they're not worries. But and maybe it is just being a dad in COVID right now, a new dad in COVID, I guess. Because, yeah, you've got this little bitty, beautiful bundle of awesomeness. And, yeah. God almighty, I'd hate it if anything were to happen to that kid.
I have to think that plays into it because he's still so young that he 100% requires and relies on you to make sure that he still continues to exist. Yeah. So that's going to affect every decision that you make for sure.
Yeah.
Which is maybe why I don't have as much of a problem because nobody relies on me but a dog. And honestly, if I was gone, the dog would just eat all the garbage and he'd be fine.
That's false. You know we all rely on you too. So don't pull this crap. Nobody relies on me. Because Travis was missing from Discord for like 2 days because he did a hiatus just of all technology. Like, hey, Travis, you okay out there? Haven't heard from you today. Just want to make sure you're around. It's like,
no. Yeah, but when I say nobody relies on me, I mean I don't have something that literally would wither and die without me.
Right, yeah. So. Sure. No. Emerald, but it is nice to be all know it. Yeah. Yeah, it would be like, well, he's dead. I'm hungry. This is fine. Oh man. Well, this has been a good conversation. I appreciate appreciate you guys. It's just this community where you get together and hash this stuff out and share the challenges and struggles and the ups. There are ups to share those with one another, and that includes the entire extended Two Dorks community, the Two Dorks extended universe that lives on Discord over there at twodorks.net/discord. If you're not in it, get in it. It's a fantastic community. Be cool and have fun. But in other, I got to click back to my tab because I forgot how to close the show. We have a voicemail. We'll play it next week. We got to do a little bit of editing to that one, but we're excited about sharing that. No email this week. Travis, what's our voicemail number if we want more of those?
231-486-5401. And call us, leave us a voicemail there. I promise I won't answer it. A little issue with that before, but I've got that sorted out now.
The other thing you could do if you want to get up with us is staringatgoatspodcast@gmail.com. I want to read some wonderful hate mail.
You're just begging for that hate mail. You want somebody to
call me? I am. I've been begging for it for a year.
You're idiots who live in fear and you're spreading fear.
I know. That's what I want. I can't wait for that one. I really am excited to get hate mail at least at some point during this show. It would be a travesty if I don't.
That, absolutely. If you like the show, share it with your friends, man. That's the best way. Go, hey, I listen to this show. It's called Staring at Goats. We don't know why they call it that, but that's what it's called. So go download it. Saying things like that to your buddies, or just putting it on their phone and they're not looking. That's also a good way to do it. Your buddy at work leaves his computer unlocked. Go throw up Staring at Goats, and leave it on their computer. And they'll be like, what is this? Who broke my computer? Also you can follow us on Twitter, staring_goats, where you can send us questions. We don't really post there much, but we'd love to interact. So that's a good place to do that. Patreon, if you like the show, you like what we're doing here, you can support us over there at twodorks.net/support. You can pay us even $1 a month. Helps. Huge thanks to do it. D.H. Dunn, our newest patron, along with Hammer Dwarf, Jesse, Og, Adam, and Christine of Geekheim, Oddly Normal One, and our parents. That list just keeps growing of awesome people. We also super appreciate all of the bits and subs that we've gotten in the last week from the Twitch environment where we do this show live every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Everyone around there is amazing. You guys are great, and we will see you next time on Staring at Goats.